This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better. Episode number 3. So we are on episode number 3, getting better and better each time. So the Better Life, Better Work episode number 3 show today is about having a better impact in creating clients for your business. So today is a business focused class and session, and my brain already feels it. So what I want you to do is I want you to take a nice deep clearing breath, and I want you to activate your thinking brain, your strategy brain, and I want you to open your mind to, especially for those of you in the online world, the coaching world, the healing world, because I'm gonna use some language today that might tickle your funny bone, and not in the comedy sense, but I'm gonna be talking about some things that may make you squirm at first. So I just wanna set you up right now to have an open mind. So a member of my community asked me last week, Allison, how can I make a greater impact with my marketing to find heart-centered clients for my business? And my brain went straight back to the basics of client creation that I learned in the real estate industry. And so, and frankly, my history in the real estate industry and in retail sales is half of what makes me so great at creating clients now. So I'm gonna bust out a few fundamentals today, classroom style. And just know that today is a little bit more brass tacks. And like in sports, there's some fundamentals that every team and every player needs to know. For example, I played basketball in high school and was really good. And one of the things my coach would always stress to us was fundamentals, 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 layups, free throws, and rebounds before any alley-oops or half-court shots. Not that us ladies were doing alley-oops, but before any showboating, we were always brought back to the basics. And as I watched the landscape of both my clients and my community members and what's going on in the online marketplace, which if you're listening or watching, it's very possible that you're in the online marketplace. And so as I pay attention to what's going on, I see very key fundamental pieces being missed. I see people looking to do an alley-oop versus some of the fundamentals. And when you can figure out what your one or two fundamentals are, you can dramatically do two things. One, get better at it, and two, convert to clients. So I wanna let you know that I am gonna use some traditional sales language today. And a colleague, client, and peer of mine, Christine Pereira, who runs Soulful Selling, was talking to her clients the other day, and it was so funny because she called out in a very loving way. She called out us coaches. So coaches, so that we say client creation, right? Because client creation feels so much better to the heart than saying prospecting or made a sale. Okay. I get it. I don't like to use that language either. And what I think can happen when we use some of the newer language is we're really avoiding important skills and actions that you can take in your business to create more clients, to get more sales. So just so you know, some of the language I am going to use today might trigger you. It might initially feel super like cringeworthy to you. And so when or if that happens, I want you just to take a deep breath and remember that the thing that matters most in any sales process if you are the person selling, if you are the person making an offering, is that the intention of your heart is what matters, not the labels that I'm going to use today to identify these aspects of client creation. Okay. These basics are important. So get out your pen, get out your pencils, get out your paper, and I want you to take some notes. And we're going to track through three major aspects, but each aspect has a few pieces. Now, frankly, I could do an entire series, 365 days a year, probably with a new topic on the sales process. We're grown-ups. We can take it. I know. I just want a position. I have a client right now. She's amazing, and she has a history in sales and marketing, and she is transitioning to selling art. And for some reason, going back to the things that she was taught at, you know, the company where she was in corporate sales really trigger her. So I just want to have compassion that a lot of people in the online marketplace aren't necessarily comfortable, but I know that you can get comfortable. Okay. So the first thing and most broad thing I want to talk about in real estate, we called it our database. Okay. We called it our database. And in most corporate sales, you have a database, and your database is your address book. It's the people that you know. In the online world, it's called your list. Or do you have an email list? Okay. And so I'm going to revert back to a lot of the things I learned in real estate and kind of compare and contrast to how things are now. But I did work at a great real estate company that does an amazing job of educating their agents and their new agents on they don't just throw them out there. They actually teach them about the sales process and some of the sales skills. So with the database, there's two kinds of people for your business. Or we actually used to call it sphere of influence, right? And I like that phrase, your sphere of influence. So every single one of us have a circle of people and various circles, right? Like you have your inner circle, but we have people in the online world and the offline world that we have exposure and influence to. So in the real estate terms that I learned, taught by Gary Keller, there's a concept called METs and habit METs. Okay, so your METs, like as in M-E-T, I have met you, are people you know that are already on your list that could buy from you or could refer someone to buy you. Okay, so the first person and the people most likely to do business with you are your METs. Okay, now in the online world, we end up getting a lot of people on our list that we haven't actually met. But some of you cross both the online and offline world, okay? The habit METs, but for the sake of this conversation, METs, people that have opted into your list or opted into your list or in your database or your address book, they're people that are already in your sphere of influence that could buy from you or refer someone to buy from you. Now your haven't METs, and actually all of us have way more haven't METs than we have METs, right? There's a whole world of people out there that don't know you exist, but your haven't METs are your ideal clients who are out there and don't know you exist. Okay. Now, just a little side note here, as a heart-centered business person who is working in the online space, I kind of consider Facebook my office. I prefer and really advocate, especially in the online space, a completely organic quote list. And what I mean by organic is people choose to put themselves on your email list. They choose to put themselves in your address book. So when I was in real estate, no, we just put everybody, anybody, we would cold call, we would call people out of the phone books, we would call people we didn't know. And in the online world, not only is that frowned upon, it's actually illegal to add people to your email list without their explicit consent. That's why you see so many opt-ins, right? So the other thing is an organic list, one where people say, I want to be on that email list so that I can get this valuable information, is much more likely to convert. Okay. So in the online world, the term we use is called a list. I call it my address book. It's my list, address book, same thing. in the offline world, traditional sales, it's called a database. And like a CRM, customer relationship management, right? And so even like I use MailChimp, and MailChimp is a CRM, and I don't use all the robust features. So like back when I was in real estate, we actually tracked relationships where we might even write down what we talked about in the conversations with people. We would take notes on each time we interacted with these people. So there's a gamut, a range, okay? But the idea in the business world, and so for those of you who are brand new to business, right? Usually, a lot of times your first clients are people who already know you, family, friends, and relatives, okay? But at some point, we exhaust them, and we have to go out meeting more people, looking for the haven't mets, seeing if our services fit their needs, which means we have to be paying attention to other people's needs, what their problems are, and what would help them, and see if we're a fit, right? And so our job is to do two things, both get exposure to those people and then connect with those people, right? And so the idea is to increase the size of your database, the size of your sphere of influence, the size of your, in your online world, I love calling it a platform. Michael Hyatt wrote a book a couple years ago. I used to give it to all my clients, and it was called Platform, because it's about some of the things we're going to talk about soon, about ways to increase your audience. Okay, so we want to increase our engaged audience. Okay, so that's mets and haven't mets, right? Remember, the goal for this is to increase the size of your sphere of influence so that you can serve more people when they're ready to work with you, buy your product, or use your services. Okay, I think I'm gonna leave. I have this super little chart coming up that I've all pre-prepared for you. And I'm gonna go through the next two, and when I'm on the third, I'm gonna do the big reveal. So if you want a copy of this chart, so whether you're listening audio or video, you're gonna wanna be sure that you are a member, that you have opted into my list for the show notes at www.alisoncrowe.com/better. Okay. So here we go with the second aspect. And this, that question, remember my community member said, how can I make a greater impact with my marketing to find heart-centered clients for my business? Something in that is a little off, right? We don't use marketing to find people. We use marketing to get exposure, to deliver information and awareness. So we use marketing to get exposure, give information, and get awareness. Okay? So there's two, that's marketing. And so many people I see on the online world are relying solely on marketing. It worked out well for us as real estate agents, because before the online world, and I was in real estate in the early 2000s, I had my license from 2003 to 2013 for 10 years. And even though social media was there, certainly wasn't as popular as it is now. But what was interesting in the real estate world, marketing with paper, so it was very big to do postcard campaigns, business cards, everything was on paper marketing wise, and even sending out newsletters that you got in the mail. Marketing cost lots of money. And so if you didn't have lots of money as a brand new agent, you had to learn how to prospect. Lucky for me, because I'm going to tell you a secret right now that your prospecting, and I'm going to explain what that is, but your prospecting is actually way more influential than your marketing. Okay. They're both valuable. They both have their purpose. So you want to have kind of a 1-2 punch. Okay. Now, I also know some people that, I know some people that are only about prospecting and creating clients in a certain way. And they say they don't do any marketing, but they still do some marketing. So prospecting, let me explain what these are. Prospecting is proactive and direct communication with an individual. Okay? Marketing is still proactive, but it's indirect. And I believe that marketing can certainly make people aware of you. And if you're in a service-based business, most likely it will take more than marketing to get paying clients. And what I see in the online world is people build it, they promote it, and they think people will come. I wish it were so easy as creating an amazing website and having amazing sales copy and having ads and all these things, and that the buy now button was the hottest thing. Right? Wouldn't it be nice? And how many of you probably have created something for your online audience? You put a lot of time, energy, and investment into not only creating the product, the offering, the service, but you've also put a lot of effort into selling it with your copy and all these other things. And then you put it out there and you get crickets. I wish I could make a cricket sound with my mouth. You get nothing, right? Okay. Sales is not if you build it, they will come. Sales is not if you build it, they will come. And I think we've talked about this a little bit before. So this is the way that I described it when I was a real estate sales coach. And it still works today, even though we no longer use as much paper marketing and we use online marketing. But I would always tell my clients, people over paper, people over paper. And so if today's version of paper is electronic, right? So people over paper. I'm not saying that paper doesn't work or that marketing and advertising doesn't work. It's an important part of your business strategy. But what I see people doing in the online world, especially those of us, and I'm talking about service-based businesses, right? I'm not just talking where you're selling a widget that has nothing to do. And the people generally in my audience are individuals who do business with people either face-to-face or voice-to-voice, right? They're providing a service. Even the artists that follow me, your art is something very personal, and the stories of your art, who you are as an artist. So I had a client recently that bought a painting. She didn't care what painting. She just said, I want a piece of Alison Krauss art, right? And so we got to realize, first of all, you are one of the crucial pieces to your sales. The other part is obviously the customer, okay? So we have prospecting and marketing. Marketing, and I have a little list for you. If you get the show notes, this is all there. So the way we do it now online, one of the great ways, and I love to do this, create content, create valuable, helpful content. And this is the key part, that creates relevant conversations. Because if you create great content, but that doesn't either pull out your client's needs or help them solve a problem, then you don't have opportunities to create relevant conversations. So things like blogs, podcast interviews, etc. Those things are really valuable content because they can help somebody get a feel for your personality, your style, what you're good at, your skills, etc. And if they're just out there like a billboard and they don't do something to engage your client further, then you're missing out on a key part of the sales process. For example, right now we have sales pages. There are people out there that are masters at writing sales pages. Most all of electronic and social media prospecting can be initiated through marketing. Okay, so we're going to get to prospecting in a second, but the marketing is just the front door. You know, I live in this giant, bright blue house. Actually, it's not really giant, but it's this big colonial box house on this street full of plain colored houses, some really cute houses. But ours is this giant blue house in a sea of white and yellow other colonial houses. And when you're walking down the street or driving down the street, you can't help but notice the big blue house. One guy even told me one day, we got in a fight at a bar. He was like, "Your house is purple." And I was like, "No, it's blue." Anyways, so, but that stands out. It's different from everything else. But it's just the outside of my house. Until you come into my home and share a meal with me, and even into my backyard and get to know my pets and my husband, we got nothing. You just got a view of the outside of my house, okay? So the idea for our marketing is we want to get people into deeper relationships. People, no, we don't want to get everybody. We want to get people that would benefit from our services and that we would enjoy working with into our homes, metaphorically, okay? Okay, and some other marketing things, ads, promotional items. Your newsletter and email that you send out is marketing. That's why it's called email marketing. Big deal. Business cards, sponsorships, signs, logos, when you send out mass texts, those kinds of things. Okay, and I'm sure there's a lot more. Those are just the ones I brainstormed for the online industry. If you go back into real estate, there's all different kinds of things that most of us in the online space don't do anymore. Okay, prospecting. Let's talk about this. Whew. Prospecting. Prospecting is where you, the individual, well, and actually my friend Muddy is here on the live stream, and Muddy told us the other day about going in and having a meeting with somebody about how he could support them, what their problems were, and how he could help them, just to find out more information. He wasn't really intending to do a direct sale, but then he realized that he could, and he ended up getting a gig from them because he went in and had a face-to-face conversation and did what we call a needs analysis. And a needs analysis, what's your problems? What do you need? What are you wanting to create in your life? What's your 10 gonna be? What problem can I help you solve? So prospecting, for me, the easiest way to put it is face-to-face or voice-to-voice. And then I wrote personal correspondence, you guys, personal correspondence, but really pick up the dang phone. Okay, so there are times when, so for example, last week, I had a client that, a past one-on-one client that wanted to come to a live event that I'm doing. She expressed out loud in public that she really wanted to come, but she hadn't bought a ticket yet. And so I reached out privately and asked her a question, and 24 hours later, she had bought a ticket. So it was actually the private conversation, the private one-on-one correspondence that actually made the sale. Now, I guarantee you, if I had been really smart, I'd have picked up the phone because I have her direct phone number, and I would have called and I would have talked to her and I would have had the ticket that night. I wasn't in a hurry. And private communication, especially if you can get voice to voice. Okay, some other ones for prospecting are teaching opportunities. Anytime you can get in front of a group of live, especially live people. Okay. Speaking engagements, networking events, and then I put in here demonstrations and booths. So basically any opportunity you have to get face-to-face and voice-to-voice, even with large groups of people. So let me take a sip of water. Let me see what questions are coming up so far from the audience. Muddy, who I was just talking about, who had that meeting, he says, "My goal was to build relationships through listening." Muddy, that's perfect. And that's prospecting. And here's something to remember when you're doing any of these activities. Not everybody is going to be ready to buy right now. Okay? Some people buy quickly. I'm a quick buyer, right? In real estate, every time I see a house, the first one I see is the one I buy, right? I'm somebody's dream because I just go straight to the buy now button and hit it. I'm a quick decision maker. Most people aren't. Most people sit back and watch. Most people sit back and watch. Most people gather information. Most people question, get advice, talk to other people. And so your goal, exactly what Muddy says, build relationships. And when the time is right, the transaction will happen. So for example, last night I got an email from somebody that's been in my sphere of influence for a very long time, it wasn't an email, it was a message. A private message. And she sent a message saying, are you taking one-on-one clients? I've been following you for years and I'm finally ready to talk about one-on-one coaching, right? And so you have to have some patience. You have to remember that the relationship always comes before the sale, both time-wise and in importance. Okay. Because sometimes the relationship is going to let you know that the sale shouldn't happen. Okay, so being heart-centered business folks, we want to value the relationship. And so it was interesting. The other night, I put a request on my my Facebook page, and I asked people to go through their last three clients. And I really want all of you to do this with your last 10 if you really want to step up your game. But go through your last 10 paying clients. And I want you to think about what was the source of that client and what was the conversion point of that client. So A, where did they hear about you or find you? And then B, what was it that brought them from just being aware about you to buying from you? And I had done the initial part of this, the first half, like take the last three clients, where did they come from specifically? And the answers were fascinating over on my thread. They were fascinating. All different kinds of people, many of them coaches, some VAs, some artists, a couple of real estate people, a hairdresser, all kinds of people answered. And it was fascinating to see what the sources of the clients were, right? And so what I know is that most of those answers, even if they came through social media, right? So they might have found you on Facebook, but most often, I would say at least 80% of the time, you guys, it was because there was a face-to-face or a voice-to-voice conversation. And many, many, many people got business, and these were coaches, so this one was coaches. Many coaches or consultants got their business from speaking and teaching engagements, okay? And so the thing that I notice, and this is what I really want you to pay attention to, this is where I want you to ask yourself about your business, is notice the efforts you're making. And of those efforts, are they marketing or prospecting? And a lot of times, marketing is so much easier than prospecting because prospecting involves a higher obvious rejection possibility. And as human beings, many of us tend to want to avoid the discomfort of hearing a no. We want to avoid the discomfort of self-promotion. We want to avoid the discomfort of being directly visible. And so we tend to subconsciously slip over into primarily marketing efforts. And then we wonder why, when we have something directly for sale, whether it's a lower price, but especially if it's a higher price offering, class, program, etc., why we don't make more sales? Because we have this beautiful marketing, this beautiful page. We have an amazing program and you know you're skilled, but why can't we get clients? Because it takes the risk to get out there face to face, voice to voice, personal correspondence, teaching opportunities, speaking engagement, networking events, demonstrations, and booths. Okay? And some of you who have your part of your service is visual. So like artist, Muddy's a graphic recorder. I have a girlfriend who answered this question. She owns a salon here in Denton, Texas, and she specializes in what she calls unicorn hair. So all these multicolors and super long extensions, right? And so those kinds of things have super visual. Those are probably the one exception where what you see visually in a two-dimensional, three-dimensional world is actually the product that's selling. Marketing is going to help a little bit more there. You may get further without as much. And I guarantee you, if you're an artist and you put up stuff. So I did a flash sale of some of my paintings. They're all stacking up in my garage. They're really big. I don't try to promote and sell my paintings a whole lot because it's a pain in the ass to ship and I'm a little bit lazy. And I decided I wanted to clean out my garage. I want to paint some new paintings. And so I thought, well, let me sell some of these. And I sold two of them. And both the exposure was made online, but the sale was made offline. And so actually one of them didn't even see that I had sold the biggest one that I sold. I sent a message to a girl who I knew had been interested in it. And I said, hey, I'm having a half price sale on my paintings. I know you were interested in it. And at $2,000, it was way too expensive for you. Would you like to make an offer? And she made an offer. And I sold the painting. And that was done offline, okay? It was done in personal communication. So I want you, the purpose of this is to kind of break down and help you see where you think you're working smart. You're working hard and you're doing good work, but you're missing a crucial piece, which is the prospecting, okay? The last thing I want to talk about today, and I have this cute little chart, is the impact of your efforts. Because obviously, if you're gonna make efforts, you want to have a big impact, right? You want it to have an impact. And then I'm going to give you a couple of how-tos or things to consider. Because I realize, you guys, I realize that sales, right? If you go to Pinterest, that's a fun place to do it because it's visual. But if you go to Pinterest and put in the phrase sales skills, you will see many, 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 many infographs that talk about all the different sales skills, okay? That is a whole nother 18 classes that we could teach here. Right. So one of the things is, you know, we might be great at. So, for example, when I said earlier that half of my success has got to be attributed to my time in real estate as a real estate salesperson and then as a sales coach for real estate agents and then as a sales coach for real estate coaches who were getting clients. I have spent most of my professionally paid coach. Actually, I have spent all of my professionally paid coaching career learning and teaching people how to make sales, aka get clients. There is a skill. What that doesn't account for is the skill you have in your business. So the skill as a coach, the skill as an artist. My friend and past coach Rich and Steve Chandler wrote a book called The Prosperous Coach, and they have their version of creating clients in there. And they talk about the art of being a coach and the business of being a coach, okay? And so you want to also, in addition to thinking about growing your skills in what your profession is, you want to grow your skills. You want to grow your awareness about how to be patient, how to handle objections, how to do a needs analysis, how to follow up, how to listen. And those are just like four or five of sales skills, okay? Some of the language that we can authentically use. Now, I will acknowledge that sometimes there's some pretty shitty language out there that feels like crap. And if you learn it, you can convert to what feels good, what feels authentic, and what is heart-centered. Okay, so the impact of your efforts. This is point number three. And you can see each of these three points has tons of pieces. Let me reveal my fabulous chart. Okay. I realized, so we've talked about our Mets and haven't Mets, and we've talked about prospecting and marketing, correct? And notice I have a little heart here by prospecting. My bullet for prospecting is a heart, because I want to encourage you guys to get in the more deliberate communication, direct communication with your possible clients, okay? Because here's the thing, if they're not your client, they might refer you somebody too. Okay, so this little triangle, in 2011, I was commissioned to do a visual poster for an author named Michael Mayer, and he wrote a real estate and mortgage-based sales book called The Seven Levels of Communication. And he had what he called in there a communication triangle. Well, this is my updated version based on, and I put a copy of his in the show notes, but this is my completely modified version of a communication triangle for the service-based salesperson, the service-based business person, and how we use online and in-person marketing, okay? So the way this triangle works, at the bottom of the triangle is what most people do, and we move up to the higher impact is at the top of the triangle, okay? So at the bottom of the triangle, we have content advertising, and for example, web copy, sales pages, your blog post, these things that we put out to create content and value. It does create awareness, and it does have some impact, but it's on the lowest rung, okay? And I get, yes, you wanna have a website and you wanna have a nice picture of yourself. Those are the fundamental things, but these are the regular actions that we take in marketing and prospecting. The second level up is email marketing, okay? Email marketing, when it first came out because it was new, was huge. It's still very relevant. However, so many people are doing email, it's now like our outdoor mailboxes used to be, where we stand over the trash can and we throw away the postcards, okay? I don't know about you, I have voluntarily subscribed to a shit ton of email lists because I've gotten value, and 98% of them, when I'm in my inbox, I just go through the outside and click, 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 delete, okay? We're giving information here. Then the next level up is a very common sales strategy, especially for people teaching classes online, which is slightly different than coaches. There's so many people calling us coaches. But is the recorded video or webinar, okay? Something that is pre-recorded. Something that is pre-recorded. And used to be this huge standard. Video is fantastic. And video is scripted and polished and... Sidekick's dogs are saying hi. The video is scripted and polished, etc. Okay? So it was, again, over here you can see I have the word information and influence. Okay? So these bottom three are in the information zone. They're in the exposure, information, and giving value zone. Okay? But you're giving information. You're educating your client to an extent in these bottom three. Okay, my favorite one right here, smack dab in the middle of this triangle, is live video. Here's what I love about live video. I love, and I'm not doing such a good job of it today because I'm teaching a class. I'm sharing some information. So this could also be recorded. However, as we get towards the end and I ask you some questions and interact, it'll shift up. So what I've done here is I've actually put live video, half in information and half in influence, because it depends. Last night, I did a video in one of my personal groups. I didn't have a stitch of makeup on. My hair was all fuzzy wuzzy. I was drinking a glass of wine and I was in my bedroom and I had just a short little chat, but I guarantee you that was probably more influential than even this value-packed session today. So live video is a way of using technology and the online place to actually have as close to a voice-to-voice and face-to-face conversation as you can online, okay? Other than having a private meeting, this live video is the beginning of moving up the scale to having much more influence. It's one of the reasons I encourage my Share Your Heart, Show Your Work clients. Share Your Heart, Show Your Work is a marketing class in a group that I lead. It's a marketing and prospecting class, basically, but teaches you how to authentically market. And one of the reasons I encourage people to experiment with and get good at live video is because, you guys, it helps create clients 10 times faster than all these put together, okay? You just have to be willing to get out there. Above that is, I've written personal conversation and connection, okay? So when we take an online exchange into the privacy of, at the lowest form, email and text, and then as we raise it up, we get on the phone, or even better, face-to-face, that personal conversation and connection is much more influential. Then above that, and it's interesting, some people might say, well, why is the in-person live event or live class even better than a private conversation? And let me explain why. In this personal conversation and connection that's just below live events and classes or speaking gigs or those kinds of things, this is more of a casual conversation, okay? It's not an in-depth needs analysis. It's not an in-depth meeting. I have that actually at the top of the list. The reason that live events and live classes and seeing somebody in person with a group mentality is because the energy of a group setting of a live event is magnetic. And because there is a subconscious group mentality of, where can I go next? Everybody, it's like a mountaintop experience, right? So everybody's having a mountaintop experience. So that's why a lot of people do live events, and they'll do a really inexpensive live event to get you to sign up for their $20,000 program, because the energy of the group, the mob mentality after sharing and giving value on stage is a no-brainer for signing up people, okay? There are people out there that use that wisely, and there are people out there that use it like a schmuck. You get to decide how you want to use it, okay? I personally don't mind offering, letting people know how they continue to work with me, but when I do my live events, I do my live events because I want to be in the room with people. I love it. I enjoy it. I love the conversation we create. And it's more of an, oh, by the way, right? So live events is, and classes, speaking engagements, etc., are the second highest level of influence. And the number one is one-to-one meetings. Okay, so when I reach out to this gal who sent me a message last night saying she's ready for one-on-one coaching, I am going to schedule an appointment with her. It is not going to be a quickie. It's not going to be a tester session, but I'm going to dive in and really spend some time with her, thinking about her needs, doing a needs analysis, seeing if we're a fit, answering any questions she has about my process or how I work with clients. And if it is right for both of us, then I will make an invitation for us to discuss the logistics of what it could look like working together. But before I do that, before I try to make the sale, I'm going to make sure it's a mutual fit for both of us, and I'm going to give her the experience of what it's like to work with me, okay? And not just a teaser session. So the final piece of this chart that I have up here on the bottom, remember, in the information zone, it is totally doable to sell lower-priced content, lower-priced products, services, and offerings. It's a lot easier to do that in the information zone. So if you're selling a book, if you're selling a poster, if you're selling an ebook, if you're selling a pre-recorded class, okay, that you can do those things in the information zone. That's why for So, for example, on Instagram? Sorry, you guys, I had a little brain fart there. Pinterest and Instagram are great at selling products, right? Because certain products, clothing, for example, most of the time you don't need to have a one-on-one meeting to buy a piece of clothing, to buy a $35 t-shirt. So those things can be sold in the information zone, okay? But as we go up the chart, and as our clientele spends more money with us, it is going to take a lot more in-depth communication and conversation and influence, okay? I guarantee you, I am not going to sell a $47,000 apprenticeship down here. It ain't going to happen, right? It's going to be multiples of these three things, multiples of these three. And I've got to make sure I know the client and I fit the client's needs. And the client is going to want to make sure that they know me before they dive into the super deep money pool. Okay. So yes, mutual fit. So the know, like, and trust factor, you guys, this is the thing. This area of influence, one-on-one meetings, in-person, live event classes, and then personal conversations and connections, and finally live video. Live video was the first thing that gave our social media audiences a sense of our true personality. Okay? But all these things, the reason live video is different from here is because live video gives people more trust information, more information to base on how to trust you. So these at the top really impact the know, like, and trust factor. The move to voice and person to person, the stronger the relationship can be, okay? I love Money Says Future Apprentice. I'm still saving up. So in between all these, the other aspect I want to point out, it's not really on my chart, and it can be done all the way up the scale. And definitely, well, yeah, for me and my business, I want to contribute help all the way up. Some people in traditional online marketing, this is like in the information area and lower price range, that's considered incidental, and you just want to set up these automated things. It's a totally viable, legit online model. It's not my model. It doesn't work for me because I like people. And I want to connect with my audience. I want to connect with my tribe members, even if they never work with me. Okay. I want to make an impact. I love getting messages that says, I've never spent a penny with you, but I still make it an impact. I love it. I also love when clients pay me. I am here to make money. I am here to help. I need to make money to support my family and my life. But I'm also somebody that, you know, gets some satisfaction out of making a contribution in the world to people that are only down here in the information zone. And we may never have a one-to-one meeting, and it still feels good to know, hey, you said something that made me feel good and made me look at life differently. Okay. So in between, we want to be contributing, we want to help people solve their problems, serve, and be helpful. And I would like to give you a sentence, a question you can ask, most of you can ask, when you notice that somebody has a problem that you may be able to solve, okay? And the question comes from my coach, Rich Lippin. It is the most simple thing. You're going to laugh at how simple it is, but here it is. Are you ready? Quote, would you like help with that? Ask for permission to help. You might get a no, right? You don't have to jump right in and tell people what you know. That's a little off-putting, okay? So this is another part of the sales skills. But just asking, would you like help with that? Is like a subtle wave at the neighbor across the street. Would you like to come over for some lemonade? Okay, back to my in your house analogy. So contribute, solve problems, be helpful. Let it be about the client and not your sale. Okay, let it be about your client and not the sale. And then this is another important aspect that many people forget to do. In my class called Share Your Heart, Show Your Work, which isn't being offered anytime soon, I call it make an invitation. It's the ask, you guys. It's the ask. I see people do tremendous work, create tremendous marketing and prospecting, both of them, and they never ask. They never go for the ask. And I think because we make up in our mind that the ask has to be at the top of this ultimate scale, and it doesn't have to be. Ask appropriately for your level of engagement, trust, and of course, the client's needs. Make an invitation, or in traditional terms, it's a call to action. Okay. So for example, here are some examples. Some of them are real, some of them are not real. Join my community. That's an ask. I'd like to invite you to join my community. You can do that in one of two places, AllisonCrow.com/better. Or the other one is you can be a part of the Facebook community, Share Your Heart, Show Your Work, where we discuss heart-centered business every single day. So those are both ask, and neither of them require the client to buy anything, but at least it's an invitation. Another ask example might be, would you like to meet next week at 3:00? Would this class be helpful for you? Is this information valuable? Can this help you make a decision? Is this something you want to do, right? Ask a question. Here's another one. Would you like to discuss what it would look like for us to work together? Are you interested in buying this piece of art? Can you see it in your house? Ask questions, you guys. And so many of us are so out there telling the world how fucking great we are. We're not asking our people questions. Okay? And then here's the final one for today. Come to Camp Starheart. And yes, I'm laughing because I'm doing an ask about a real life thing. I want you to come to Camp Starheart. I'll tell you more about that at the end of this. But I just had to put some of these real life examples here in remembering to make the ask. Okay? That's the other thing. You can have fun. And I guarantee you, I have people that are watching on the live stream now that have said, no, I cannot come, or I do not want to come to Camp Starheart. That's okay. Another way I heard of asking, and I really like this one. Hello, love from London. Another one I really like that aligns with me and that feels really good with me is, I'm not trying to sell anything. And if you think about sales this way, I'm not trying to sell anything that someone doesn't want. I am not trying to give you something that you don't want. I don't like returns. Some people have a sales model where they want to sell as much as they can, and if a client doesn't like it, they won't return it. I don't want to do that. I want to go more thorough, be more inclined that it's an exact match, a sacred contract. And I only want people to come to my events, sign up to work with me, or take my classes who 110% with their mind, body, and spirit, and with their intuition, feel like it's an absolute yes for them. Otherwise, it's a no for me. Okay, that's not everybody's business model. But when you come from that space, it makes it so much easier to accept a no. No's aren't personal. My husband loves pumpkin pie, you guys. I'm not a pumpkin pie. Not pumpkin, I'm sorry. I love pumpkin. Pecan. Pecan pie. He loves pecans. I don't like nuts in my food. Okay, it crawls around in my teeth for years. The dentist finds it in 6 weeks. It's gross. But so if someone were to say, Allison, would you like pecan pie? No, it's not personal. So that's the other thing. A lot of times we're taking ourselves really personally. But if you begin to ask your clients questions, you'll know. I had a guy last year call me, so funny, called and was talking about wanting coaching, and he was in a really desperate place. He was in a very heightened emotional state. I could have sold him in a manipulative way that served me and didn't serve him. And my answer was, you know what? I'm happy to help you and support you along the way. If you need a session from now, you know, every once in a while we can create arrangement. But I don't think you need a coaching agreement with me. I think you need to spend your money hiring a lawyer. He was in a non-compete situation. And that was the honest truth. He was scared. He had all these things, and it turned out perfect. He didn't hire me, and I'm so glad. It would have been a $20,000 client, and I'm so glad he didn't hire me. And he's doing fantastic, right? So remember to make an ask. And remember to give it permission for it to not be a fit. Those two things, if you in your psyche and in your heart and your mind can allow for sacred contracts, and a sacred contract is one that in a spiritual sense to me is divinely ordained. It happened before the beginning of time, and it was going to happen no matter what. Nothing is going to stop it, right? And that it's a full yes for both you, the service provider, and the client. That's a sacred contract. I don't intend to take any contracts that aren't a part of that system for me. Okay? So today we have covered some fundamental basics about creating clients. Now, each one of these, you guys, could be an entire another hour long class. If something today has piqued your interest, I want you to do yourself a favor and spend some time researching and learning more, right? Or come over to the Share Your Heart, Show Your Work group and ask more questions. Okay? Because I can't answer everything here and today. We've got 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to give you your reflection questions. So these are some things to think about. Again, you can get this information in the show notes by signing up for the at allisoncrowe.com/better. Again, here's the exercise. Take inventory of the last 10 to 20. So online I said 3, but if you're really serious about this and if you really want to gather some information, if you really want to know what's working and what's not working in your business, I want you to take inventory of the last 10 to 20 paid clients you've had. Trace specifically both the source of the client and where the conversion was made. Okay, so I have a client. My client Rebecca has hired me 2 or 3 times. She's been in private coaching. She just re-enrolled to do a group business coaching thing with me. She has hired me 4 times now. And she first saw me dancing in a video online, being a total goofball, nothing professional. But the sales conversation came later. Okay, so the conversion was different from the source. So take an inventory also. So not only do you want to inventory where those clients have come, I also want you to turn your direction and think about both the marketing and prospecting activities that you've done over the last year. In fact, I encourage you to get out a pen and a piece of paper and make a list, right? Make a list of all of the efforts, both marketing and prospecting, that you have put in over the last year, and identify what are your best sources for exposure or increasing your audience and your database, and what is your best sources of converting clients, right? So that's what was so fascinating on that list the other day. So many people got clients when they were face-to-face and voice-to-voice, even if it came through a Facebook post. This can be a fabulous exercise for helping you see what is really working that you've forgotten works, and also see where you're leaving out crucial pieces of the puzzle for your business. The second thing is, I want you to open your heart, especially those of you who aren't used to it, but I really want you to open your heart and your mind to learning about sales skills. Perhaps take a sales class. I cannot tell you how, and I forgot about it until this member of my community asked me the other day. I forgot how valuable the information that I learned in real estate sales, the sales part, not the house part or the contract part, but the sales part, how valuable that is to me today, and I haven't had my license for over 5 years. So for example, if you're looking, I don't know what she has right now. I don't think she has any offerings right now. She may have one coming up in February, but my client and friend Christine Pereira runs a company called Soulful Selling. And so for many of you people who want to sell in a more heart-based way, Christine is an expert, and she used to be in the online advertising with Yahoo, really large companies, really high budgets, millions and millions in sales, and she was in charge of all of these accounts. So she has left that world and started her company, Soulful Selling. So check out Soulful Selling with Christine Pereira. The third thing I want you to think about is I want you to take a look. This is actually a to-do that could generate you a client today. Take a look back through all your email, all your messages, and all your text. Have you left anyone hanging? So I'm going to tell you all a funny story. I have on my website under AllisonCrow.com, somewhere coaching, I have an application for people to submit an application for one-on-one work. It's part of the filters that I use, especially for my one-on-one work to help me save time. And I was going through email and I was searching application in my Gmail account. So it brought all these up. And as I'm scrolling down, I look and I see this person that has filled out the application and my heart stops. She's taken the time. She's filled out all these questions. I had no idea she was going to do it. And somehow I must have seen that email and said, I'll get back to it when I get to my desk, etc. And I forgot to follow up with her. This client's name is Catherine. And so I send Catherine an email a year later. Y'all, I could have let it go. I was mortified. And I sent her an email that says, I screwed up royally. You took all this time and you did this and I dropped the ball and didn't respond to you. I think I had responded and we were about to set up a session and then I just totally dropped the ball. And so I claimed it, owned it, and I said, I'm not selling anything. I just wanted to tell you I fucked up royally and I'm so sorry. Wishing you the best, Allison Crow. And she emailed back and said, actually, I think maybe now is a better time for me to work with you anyways. And that wasn't my intention. I really wasn't trying to sell anything, but I was willing to go back and see where I had dropped the ball in communication. Because a lot of times people will indirectly come into your inbox, your text messages, your emails, and they want to start having a conversation with you. And because we're not aware of how important the middle of the conversation is, we often drop the ball. Okay. So follow up with those messages. Okay. And see what you can do to create voice-to-voice conversations. Heck, if somebody, you have their number and you've lost it, pick up the phone and say, you know what? I was just going through email. I totally screwed up and dropped the ball on you. So I just wanted to check in and see how you are. Don't check in to sell something. Just reignite the relationship. You never know what could happen. I had a colleague of mine call me the other day and said, Allison, I'm trying to create this XYZ client for a very large sum of money. And he said, I think I need to have somebody rich. And I said, you wanted my advice. So he called for advice and coaching. And I said, so first of all, it's not somebody rich. It's not somebody that necessarily you would think can afford it. And I said, I guarantee you it's somebody that's already in your inbox and you've dropped it. And sure enough, I got a text from him the other day. He said, you are totally right. I signed the client. I signed the really big deal. I signed the really big contract and it was somebody I was already in communication with. It wasn't a new person. Okay, two more things, okay? Thanks for bearing with me. Are you needy and creepy? If you are in scarcity financially, if you are needy, you're gonna creep people out, okay? Or are you patient and relaxed and providing expertise and value? Okay. So don't be needy and creepy. I've been needy and creepy before. It's gross. Don't do it. If you're in scarcity, then your job is to realign yourself, realign your mindset, get back to whatever spiritual practices you need to know that money always shows up at just the right time, because you will not make a sale when you are needy and creepy, because the energy is the energy of needy and creepy. And nobody wants to buy from somebody in needy and creepy. They want to buy from people they like, know, and trust. Then finally, and this is probably the most important thing I've said all day, I want you to check in with what I call your divine business manager, which is really your intuition that runs your business. So check in with your intuition and ask him or her what guidance and advice they have for you around client creation. So no matter what you learn from the outside world, I want you to always check in with your intuition, right? So when we combine our intuition with being proactive about learning, we can't lose. All right, so that's what I've got today. I want you to come to Camp Starheart. I have 24 tickets left. I'm half sold out. 24 tickets left. Camp Starheart is a live event I'm doing around the B zone of your life. So this is not necessarily, we're not teaching business strategy. We're not teaching strategy about really anything about how to be in alignment, how to be fully you, how to enjoy your life. Campstarheart.com is the website. You can ask me for a conversation. Let me know you're interested and I'll pick up the phone and talk to you and see if I can share with you about it. It's kind of impossible to share because it's an experience. It's not just a workshop. It's not just a conference. It's so many more things. And if your intuition is telling you, I really want you to wiggle, hustle your booty, and find a way to come and join us. If you got value from this, I would love it if you would leave a tip for me at allisoncrow.com/better. It's never expected, but always appreciated. And see, even I get a little giggly asking. I, as y'all know, the ones who watch the last show, is I'm practicing my own asking. And tips are a great way for you to support the show, for me to support the show by being willing to ask for tips without having to hire you on as a $15,000 client. So a dollar is awesome. So that's what I have for today. I want to thank you so much for being here. I have a really exciting show next week live. My friend John Davis is going to be here. I'm going to take your questions too in a minute. If any of you have questions on the live feed, if you have questions or comments or insights, I'd love to hear the insights that you got from this class. I know that we're going over a little bit, but if any of you can stay around and want to share your insights, I'd be happy to interact with you. Next week on the show, my friend John Davis. I've known John for 25 years. Frankly, I was in love with him when I was in my 20s, and he was my best friend. We've never had a romantic relationship, but he was my best friend. We spent a lot of time and energy and attention on each other, and we knew each other in college when I was in graduate school, and we've known each other now. And John has an amazing, interesting life story. He is actually the founder of Two Extreme, a counseling program that he created in Colorado where he does counseling with young men who are having substance abuse and drug addiction, and he takes them climbing all over the world. But the other interesting thing about John is that John was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, over 3 years ago. And many of you know that Lou Gehrig's disease is a death sentence. And so John will be here next year. He's a total goof. I'm a total goof. We're a total goof together. I have no idea where next week will go. I don't even know if there will be show notes next week. I just know it's a powerful, endearing, loving story. John has overcome so much in his life. We'll see what all he wants to share with you. We're going to laugh. We're going to have a good time. So I hope you'll be with us next week. The title is called Move or Die, because moving has helped me not die emotionally, and moving has helped him physically not die. So thank you guys all. Oh, and the dogs, they waited until the very end. But my expertise, my expert sound person can cut all this end stuff out. Clem. Okay, any questions before I, come here, Clem. Any questions before I sign off, you guys? And Elise, when we turn this part into the podcast, we can actually end with the final ending of the call instead of all my random blabbing. Thank y'all so much for being here. Gonna give another second or two and see if there is any other questions that I can answer for you. Love the dogs. Give them a, but they did really good today. They waited until the very end. It was awesome. They did do very good. I also did very good. Bill took them for a walk and I did a lot of nose work with them. Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope to see you and share your heart, show your work. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for sharing this. I hope you learned something. And if you're in my Share Your Heart, Show Your Work group, I want to hear what you learned. Tell me what you're going to do. How are you going to take this information and make a 4% difference in your business? What action are you going to do differently? Right on. Peace out, you guys. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrowe.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrowe.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.